An oasis in the desert. Come with me to drink of the fullness of his word. We all may partake at Redeeming Word. Redeeming Word Christian Center International, equipping the body, the church, with the word of God.
I've done that meetings before and people were set free from demons. They ran out of them, especially young people. I mean, ran out. Set free from all kinds of things. We need to take our authority. And I love talking about the authority of the believer and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and our spiritual weapons and ruling and reigning with Christ. And actually, we're living in that time right now when that's going to be visibly seen all over in the body of Christ. You're living in the kingdom age, and that's not my message this morning, but he always has me tell people that. They may not know what time it is. It is not the perilous times. This is just a free news bulletin from heaven. You are not living in the perilous times. They will come, but God is not done with us yet. There's a lot of things we have not done yet that the Word of God talks about, and God hasn't changed his mind. I'm just going to give you five of them before I start. Number one, the world will know us by our love for each other. And right now it doesn't. And if he takes us out, who's going to display that? He has laid up the wealth of the wicked to put in the hands to be used by the just and the righteous in this earth. He hasn't done that yet either. And if he takes us out, who's he going to give it to? The knowledge of the glory will cover this earth like the waters cover the sea. That's the message, the gospel of the kingdom with absolute power and authority displayed with greater works than Christ did. That hasn't happened yet either. So there's too many things that he talked about happening and they haven't happened yet. And so if he comes and rescues us, oh, and the other one, who's going to bring in the harvest? If you think the harvest has come in, you don't know what it is. Multiplied millions are going to race into the kingdom of God. And it won't be out of fear. It will not be from being afraid. It will be because of the power and the glory and the love of God going around this world the way he always intended it to be, with us taking dominion and authority in the spirit realm, pushing back darkness, building things to be used by him. Help pay for the harvest, prepare the bride of Christ, lift oppression from around the world in ways you never even dreamed of before. That's about what's happened on this earth. And if he comes and takes us out, it won't get done. And this is what he told me. I refuse to come and take away my children and leave a weak, pathetic, fearful testimony of my son's death. He said, when I come and we come to get you, a rapture means enraptured. It doesn't mean a rescue party. Rapture does not mean rescue. Rapture means to be enraptured. When they are so in love with the way that we are loving, taking authority, pushing back darkness, displaying and manifesting for Father on this earth, just like they do in heaven, then they will come and get us. Say amen. Amen. So that means your lives are about to change. It means a lot of things are about to change because this is God's time. This is what the Father said. It's my time to show up and show off in my kids like I never have before. And you're about to run the divine race, and the host of heaven will be running with you. See, if you thought something else was going to happen, the Father wants to make it perfectly clear that you're living in the kingdom age and everything is going to be different. Say amen if you agree. He has a plan. Amen. Today, I just had to say that. The Holy Spirit wanted to say that. And while I'm at it, he said, please share about the greasy grace for just a moment. Some people call the new message is being preached hyper grace, extended grace, whatever you want to call it. There's a message being given now that once you get born again and saved and the blood washes away your sin, you can continue to sin for the rest of your life and never repent, and it's okay with God. It's even being taught in some Bible colleges. That's a lie from hell. You better say amen.
Amen.
I think they've left a lot of the word out in that message. But you know, the enemy is going to try everything he can to stop what God wants to do. And so anytime a move of God comes, the enemy pulls all kinds of tricks out of his bag to try to deceive people, get them pulled off track. And that's what he's doing with that message. And this is the Holy Spirit's. You may quote him if you'd like to. That's what he said. The Holy Spirit said, the Father did not send his Son to die so you could have grace to freely sin. He sent his Son to die so you could have grace to be free from sin. That's how they feel about it in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
The grace is there. It'll always be there. But once you receive Christ, if you sin, you have to repent. And that's really for your protection. Because if you don't, the enemy has permission to mess with you. And believe me, he'll mess with you. And then he'll get you even more messed up. And that's why we repent. You don't want to carry anything of the enemy on the inside of you, amen? When you sin, the enemy marks you. And then they'll hunt you. You don't want to get marked. Only by God, amen? There's reasons why he shares those things in the word for us. It's because he loves us, amen? Be quick to repent. A lot of people are about to have a really big surprise. Wait till the fire of God starts hitting them. They'd be crawling on the ground trying to repent. The thing about the move of God that's coming, and people try to gauge the past moves of God we've had, the Father said there's no way they can ever do it. You will never be able to look at all the past moves of God and even come close to what he's about to do now. Because the one thing people are not considering is the manifest presence of the living God showing up all over this earth. And he said, why don't you go back and read what happened the first time I did it? When the entire mountain was set on fire. He said, multiply that about 1,000 times. Because we have tidal waves of the passion and fire of God headed for this earth to touch our flesh. And people either run into the kingdom or they're going to run the other way. Some will fall to the ground and have to crawl to get away from the presence of God. Wait and see what happens. I'm excited. Every believer should be excited right now that you're alive right now. Amen. I've got to get onto the message. Okay, I have a message that's so powerful. It's called Beyond the Veil. And you're going to get an amazing, awe-filled, powerful message about what God's house looks like. In the book of John, in my Father's house are many mansions. And many people have kind of struggled with that over the generations, trying to figure out what does that mean? How can you get mansions in a building? Because they're thinking with their natural mind. And I have news for you. God's house is not a building. It's a world bigger than our galaxy. A spiritual world that has always existed. It was in eternity before time began. And I've shared part of a message before. What I was talking about on Thursday was God's timeline. And I shared a lot about that before Genesis 1:1. People are blinking at me. In the beginning is not talking about when God was or when his house was. It's talking about when the physical realm was created. Because eternity has always existed, and so has the Father, and he didn't just appear somewhere in eternity. Eternity came from him. Say amen. Amen. And so I have a lot of revelation on that, and he actually caught me up and showed me heaven before the world and the universe was ever made. You'll just have to get the tape from them. Have to get that message. It's powerful. There's places in heaven you can go and watch God. He recorded himself, him and the Word, creating the heavens, the universe, and the earth when he put the dinosaurs on it. And you'll find out how the ice age came and how all that happened, how the landmasses split apart. You get a lot of revelation when you get to heaven. People say, I'm going to have this whole list to give God. Your list will melt away. When you stand before the one who carried life on the inside of him for eternity until he made this earth to send us here. The one who holds the very air you breathe and every living human being on this planet. He knows every hair on their head, every thought in their mind. And we are a little speck of dust out in the universe. If you go on NASA.com and you put Earth next to Jupiter, it looks like a speck of dust. And yet all eyes in heaven are on this speck of dust that you're sitting on. Because God's kids are here. Amen? The Father is such an amazing being. In case you wondered, he has a body. I don't know why people think he doesn't. You wouldn't have one. We're made in his image. Say amen. Amen. He has a face, but the glory is so blinding coming from it. You can kind of see the outline. You see two blue flames of fire that are his eyes. And the one thing that he actually laughs at is when a believer, born again, blood-bought believer says, you cannot see the face of God. He goes, why would they say that? Are they not holy enough to come into heaven but not see me? Are you any holier when you get to heaven than you are on the earth when you receive the sacrifice of my son? If you can see me when you get to heaven, why couldn't you see me if I caught you up now? If my son said, the pure in heart shall see God, why would you think you couldn't see all of me? If he says, I'm the only way back to the Father, why would you think you couldn't see my face? You're no more holy when you get to heaven. You don't get holiness 101 when you get to heaven. You're there because of the blood of Christ. You have access to him through the blood of Christ. Amen? Amen. And probably almost all the backlash I get from people, that is the number one thing I hear. You couldn't be telling the truth because you can't see the face of God and live. I went, oh, trust me, all my flesh died the second I saw him. But according to the word, he had face-to-face encounters with Moses. And I don't know if you know this, but he actually said that himself. Remember when Miriam and Aaron were complaining about Moses' wife. You need to go back and read that sometime. They were griping, complaining about who he married. They didn't like the color of her skin. And then they started complaining about Moses, saying he was the one who was speaking for God. And this is all in the Word. He just had me read it last week. Who does he think he is? He thinks the only one that can prophesy? Is he the only prophet? Can't we prophesy? God was not happy. And so he had a meeting with Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And he came down in a pillar of fire to talk to them directly. And he said to Miriam and Aaron, "Are you talking about my son? Are you talking about Moses? Are you complaining that I say he's a prophet and he speaks for me?" He said, "Let me tell you, when I speak to him, I don't speak to him in dreams and visions or in shadows or in part. I speak to him face to face." So the next time someone tells you you can't see the face of God and live, tell them to go read that scripture. Because that came from God himself. And Christ hadn't been here yet. But he so believed in God for who he was, honored him, loved him, and obeyed him. He counted him righteous because of that. Amen? Amen. And if the Father chooses to catch you up to his throne, I promise you, you will see his face. Filled with glory and splendor, with the living rainbow moving in and out of him in waves. You'll see life moving in and out. You'll hear life moving in and out of him. It's an amazing experience. You never forget it. I've heard of many people having different encounters. Somebody was caught up and they said all they could do was scream. They thought their brain would explode when they saw him. When he takes me, I feel like I'm 8 years old. And he is my daddy, and I am his little girl, and I run up the steps so he can pick me up. Because I know who I am, and I know who he is. And that's why he said, you must be like a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because those who don't already have that in them, when they get there, they get taken to the welcome center. Because they're in shock over heaven culture. They didn't know there'd be music and dancing and fun. And they're in shock. And I want you to know, the people who run the welcome center used to run the funeral homes down here. Because they need a lot of care and comfort. Because they're in shock. This is heaven? I thought it would be silent. I thought it was holy. I thought it would be like a convent. I don't know why they thought that. Because if a whole bunch of little kids are going home to heaven, God would be in trouble if there wasn't something to do to have fun. He doesn't want us to come as old-minded people. He wants you to come with the mind and heart of a child, because he intends to do fun things with you. The word says he is our father and we are his offspring. And when you get there, you're going to look 20 and feel 20, so it doesn't matter anyway. There's no old people in heaven. And if you like silence, you better find someplace else to move. Because they're shouting and rejoicing and celebrating everywhere. And if you go to a beautiful meadow to sit down for some reflection and meditation, the rocks will start shouting and jumping up and down and singing, and the flowers will grab you and start dancing in circles, and the trees will start clapping their hands and praising God. Hallelujah! Even the buildings make music. Your clothing makes music. Everything worships the Father and the Son. And that's where all your loved ones have been living. You should be so happy for them. Living a life filled with splendor and wonder. And the purest love you'll ever experience. The presence of God goes with you everywhere. It's already in the walls of your mansion. It surrounds you and captivates you all the time. And sometimes, if you're in the throne room, he'll take, and people will be in there sometimes worshiping, and the Father will reach out and grab a band of the rainbow from himself, and he'll throw it. And it goes like a ribbon out of the throne room and goes all over heaven looking for one certain person he would like to visit with. And it goes past till it finds who he wants to love on and goes, swirls around them, and brings them back in there to him. And he'll let you sit right there next to him. You will never, ever stop being undone when you get to heaven. It's not like, oh, we're there now. We'll just have a life. That does not exist in heaven. You'll never stop worshiping him. You'll never stop thanking him. Wait till you see your mansion. I've seen thousands of mansions. They don't all look alike. My message is beyond the veil. I think I said that once. I forget sometimes because I'm so overwhelmed by God and by his Son. Just being with the Lord of glory is enough to get anyone undone. People always ask me, what did he look like? Well, in his normal height and everything that he was on the earth, he's about 6 foot tall, extremely muscular. He's got this golden tanned olive skin and dark curls that go all over his head. He has a neatly trimmed beard and mustache and eyes that look like liquid pools of love. He shines like the stars and the sun, like a million diamonds as he walks across heaven. Everybody runs to greet him. Everybody runs with him. They can't wait to be with him. When you get to heaven, you get this key the Lord gives you. It's just for you. And as a part of your mansion, on the grounds of your mansion, there's a secret garden that he made just for you. And anytime you want to be with him, you'll take the key and put it in the lock that's in a rose, a living rose. And when you turn it, the gate opens. And when you go in, the Lord comes. Yes, you can have time alone with him. You can have time alone with the Father. They love it. You're not just a number when you get there. Everybody knows you. Everybody knows your first name. You understand everybody no matter what language they speak. You understand them. Everybody stands each other. You can speak with your thoughts or you can speak with your mouth. Some people are caught up and they've only seen people speak with their minds, so they think that's the way it is all the time. But I have been thousands of times. I didn't take myself. I didn't ask to be taken. It was his choice. But I did pursue the Lord for 20 years. 4 hours a night, gave him my life and my time just to be with him. And they decided to take me on tours of heaven. And I didn't say no. And right now, actually, all over the world, people are being caught up everywhere and they're given glimpses of heaven. Why is he doing that now? Because of the time we're living in. The more you know about him, the more you know who you are. The more you know about heaven, the more you know about your home. And anyone who speaks for the Father should have their message totally consumed with the love of God. They know how to speak about people. They don't judge. They don't criticize. They don't hate. They don't get offended. They have no fear in them. They have no darkness in them. When you go to heaven and come back, you absolutely despise evil and all darkness. You want nothing to do with it. You're consumed with the love of God. You fall in love with everybody. And when I look at you, you're not even my friends. You're my family. And there's some, I'm sure, denominations, because of the way that man has done in this world, that would say, well, we can't have a part of you because you believe in something we don't believe in. And I'll look at them and say, well, you can say you don't want to be my friend, but you can't get rid of family. And in heaven, we are the family of God. And we think of each other that way. Isn't that wonderful? There's no jealousy, no coveting, no fighting, no arguing. People still have their opinions, their personalities. They all use their amazing gifts to bless everybody in heaven for free. There's no money. You eat anything you want to, and there's no weight gain or food allergies. Your spiritual body is made out of light. Everyone say this. God is light. Is that what the word says? Light is the number one thing in heaven that things are made out of. The buildings are made out of light. Your spiritual body is made out of light. All the food is made out of light. They don't kill animals to feed you. They say amen. Amen. But it looks like steak, tastes like fried chicken, tastes like the best pizza you've ever had in your life. The bakeries, you actually see the aromas, not just smell them. There's another whole dimension in heaven. You don't just hear music and feel music, you see music. And when you worship somewhere in heaven, you are caught up and ride on your praise across the skies of heaven. It transports you to the throne room. It's a supernatural. Everybody say, it's a supernatural world. And it's your home. And when people talk about heaven, they should say things you've never heard of before, or thought of before, or couldn't have possibly known, except or unless it be revealed by the Spirit of God. And there's a lot that I could share, but He's wanted me to talk about this because it's going to help a lot of people whose loved ones live there, and it's going to be an amazing witnessing tool. That there is a living God. He does have a son named Jesus Christ who paid a price for them to know Him. That they can live in power and authority in this earth and push back darkness and make a difference. Love others. Learn to bless and not curse is one of the most fun things you'll ever learn to do in this life. It is an absolute joy and pleasure to bless people who curse me, because I know exactly what it does to the devil. And when I bless them, I'm not blessing them with my love. I'm blessing them with His love and truth and life. And every word I speak to them is going right into their soul, which will make them think about it. You need to think about your words. Everything God made, He spoke it. Your words are powerful. People in heaven declare and decree over you here on the earth. They have places called portals in heaven where they can go and watch your race. It's in the Word of God. I've been shown those places. They're amazing. Everybody watches their going home celebration service on the earth when you send them off to heaven. Everybody is allowed to watch it. They're there watching it. I've been in funerals and seen a portal open, and the person who's in the casket, that's a weird feeling. The body's laying in the casket, but they're right there looking down over the portals of heaven watching their service. And they looked a whole lot better up there than they did in the casket. And I could hear music going on in the background because they were having a celebration party. Say a party.
Party.
Heaven doesn't give you a funeral. They were having a funeral for him down here, and the Father was having a celebration for them in heaven. I think celebration is better, amen? People go, well, how can you see those things? Because God allows it. It's called a seer anointing. And the New Age movement did not create it. The Father said, I have always had seers. They're in the Old Testament. They're in the New Testament. It's not anything new. But for some reason, people kind of get scared when you say that to them. I think you're talking about New Age. No, I'm not. It was around before the New Age movement was here. God needs seers on this earth so they can tell you what happens in the spirit realm around your life, how the enemy operates, what your spiritual weapons are, what it looks like when you use them, what happens to hell and the enemy when you use them. You're powerfully and wonderfully made. It says you wrestle not against flesh and blood. It would be better if he'd have said, don't wrestle against the flesh and the blood. Because you're not going to get anywhere. Amen? You don't have power over all the power of the people. Take authority, get mad at, and strike back at the enemy. By taking authority over him. Operating in those people's lives, then you've made a difference with your words. Say amen. Does that make sense? Holy Spirit's going to give me a message called shut up. He likes to say things like that. They call him the drama king in heaven. People go, oh. He likes it. Because trust me, he's about to cause a lot of drama on this earth you've never seen before. And what do you think baptism in the Holy Spirit is? That's a lot of drama. I've heard all kind of wild stories from like 100 years ago when he would hit places and the things people would do in those meetings. One of them, I love one of them. There was a wonderful meeting going on, and there's this little pianist that always wore white when she would play the piano during the service, during the revival, and she was very quiet and sedate, and she would play wonderful hymns. And that was way back when they had, like, you know, the coal burner potbelly stoves to heat the service, to heat the building. And the Holy Ghost hit that place. And she jumped up and did back flips, hit the stove pipe. The black soot went all over her beautiful white outfit. She rolled on the floor, speaking in tongues all the way across the floor in the building and didn't care. And she was never the same after that happened. The Father loves his children. He loves to reason together with us in heaven, in his boardroom that has a throne in it. He sometimes calls in some of the redeemed, and he shares with them his plans. He'll go, what do you think about that? And they're sitting there like this. Because they can't believe they were summoned to discuss things with the Father. He loves to talk with us. He wants you to hear his voice. Amen? That veil is very thin right now between heaven and earth. And what's there and what does it look like? And I'm going to share with you what happens from the moment a believer dies on this earth and moves to heaven. By the way, they're not lost. Heaven didn't lose them. They're not up there wandering around trying to find their place. They come and pick you up. This is the way the Father told me. Whoever owns you will come for you. Because you gave yourself to them. Whether it's heaven or hell. You don't wander around on this earth. There are no spirits of human beings that lived and died. None of those spirits live on this earth. Those are familiar spirits that people hear or see, or that mediums or psychics call up. Those are familiar spirits that look like relatives. When you die, you move to one place or the other. You don't get to choose then, amen? The moment you stop breathing, no matter what state you were in or where it was when you passed, a spiritual body steps out of this physical body. It looks like you, but a whole lot better. The light of God is on you. Your gown you're wearing glows with the glory of God. You can see your guardian angel standing there waiting to escort you home to heaven. The joy of the Lord consumes you. And excitement consumes you. This is if you're going to go and stay there. This isn't like what they call an NDA. And near-death experiences. And I don't know why they say that. Because if you flatlined, you died. Near death. I don't understand that. Died, went, and came back. I understand that. Amen? But the secular people have to give it some kind of name. Because they don't understand. They pick you up in a chariot, in a transport. Amazing, beautiful, supernatural, spiritual ways to transport you to heaven. You go all the way through the universe. You see all the planets, the galaxies, all those beautiful things that God made and put out in space and hung in the physical realm. You see all that beautiful stuff. And then you go beyond the known universe and you begin to see the brightest thing in the sky. It's massive. It will fill the entire sky. It's God's house. It's a world called heaven. Why do I say it's a world? It's round. Why do you think the planets are all round? Why is our earth round? It's a shadow of heaven. His house has always existed. However, one day, he's going to move. And he's going to go live on the new earth with us. And he's willing to leave his house where he has always been, pack his stuff up, get on the new Jerusalem, and come down to the new earth. And we won't live in our place or his place. It'll be our place. Amen? And a lot of people never consider that. But even he will have to be willing to move. When your loved ones die, they move to this beautiful place. Angels begin to pour off heaven to welcome you as you're coming home. You see beautiful things up in the atmosphere of heaven. You'll see all kinds of realms. I call it the celestial realm. That's just the atmosphere of heaven before you ever get to the ground of heaven. There's huge cubes with thousands of angels in them that spin. And all they do is shout glories to God continually, 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 continually. Colors you haven't even seen before in your life shoot off of that, and they will engulf the vehicle or whatever it is that you're in and pass through you, and you feel the life of God going through you. You come down where it's like a landing place. I call it a landing port where you climb out. Jesse DePlanis saw this place. Where you get out of your transport or chariots, whatever takes you, this is where you get out. And there's the river of life right there going down the streets of gold. The gates are a ways away from you. And you run and jump in the river of life. And people splash the water on each other. And they begin to laugh like little kids. Because you're being consumed by the joy of the Lord. And you eventually get up where the gate is. And then the Lord comes to get you. Don't worry about finding him. It was his prize. His prize that the Father showed him was when each one comes home, you get to walk them back up the steps of the throne and give them back to me. And you're undone by his beauty and his love until you think you're going to melt. And he'll put you on his arm and walk you through there. And you come to this amazing, beautiful white building, huge and massive. It even has a bridge you go over. I've never even shared this much detail. There's a bridge that goes over, and there's this beautiful moat around it. Where do you think the whole castle moat thing came from? There's so many things in heaven I saw that I understand were dropped down to this earth, and people made them. The river of life flows from the Father sometimes down the steps, and people sit there and actually drink from that river right there in the throne room. Sometimes it goes under the throne, out in the smoke, then out there into the streets of gold. And it goes all over the streets of gold and becomes a sea, big enough for great sail ships to sail on. And there's not sand on the bottom, there's gemstones. That's why it's called the Crystal Sea. And the Lord walks you into the throne room. These massive doors open, and there's a sea of people all around the throne. And the throne is high and lifted up, like Revelation 4 talks about. So high, this actually looks like a building. It's so high that there's like steps and a platform, steps and a platform, steps and a platform. It could be, I don't know, 70, 80 foot high. It's way high. And these living creatures that surround it, there's four of them looking at them. People picture them looking out at you, but they're not. They're looking at them on the throne. They stand upright. They have, one has the head of an eagle, one has the head of a lion. His head is massive. He's massive. They stand on the floor of the throne room, and yet they're right up there by the throne. That's how big they are. Thousands of eyes. They have these gossamer gowns, and they have collars that come up high around them. I wonder where that idea came from down here. They're considered royalty. They are the closest thing to the throne of God because they've always been with him. Highly intelligent, ancient eternal beings. They even have eyes in their head. They have six wings, and every feather has an eye in it. And God created the peacock on the earth to represent the living creatures. That's why I'm wearing peacock feathers. Every feather on a peacock has an eye in it, just like the living creatures. All the colors on the peacock are throne room colors, and they even have a crown. Because the living creatures are considered royalty. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you love Revelation? Some of God's favorite colors are teal, sapphire blue, and purple. They're all royal colors. And they're all over in our fashion industry right now. That's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence because heaven is invading this earth. You walk there with the Lord, and all you can do is tell him how much you love him. And the whole time he's saying, but wait till you meet the Father. I can't wait for you to see the Father. Remember, even the Lord pursued the Father when he went to the mountains to be with him, to spend time with him, because he loved him. He can't wait to walk you up there. And you start walking up these steps to the throne. And if you look down in the steps, you see creation taking someplace. And somewhere in heaven, things are always being created. You see creation flows from the Father all the way down the steps of the throne. And as you're walking up there, you see all kinds of flowers strewn all the way up the steps. These steps are like 40 foot wide. I'm not talking about a little place. You see flowers all the way up the steps. And over here, you see every kind of sweet all the way up the steps. They're gifts for Jesus. He loves flowers and he loves sweets. And he loves to dance. He discovered how wonderful these things were when God put flesh on the Word and sent him to this earth. He changed a little bit. And he loves to do things with his hands. He still does carpentry in heaven. He builds things and puts them in your mansion. And when you get there, if you see a little cross on the side, that's his mark. And people get undone when they run around. They'll look to see what he made for them. And sometimes he does projects with Joseph. He trained him. Heaven is real. When God sent his son, he put a gift inside of him. It was called carpentry. And he let Joseph raise him because Joseph was a master carpenter. He wasn't just any carpenter. He was a master carpenter. Very much in demand back then. And you notice years after Joseph is gone, everybody remembered him in one way. Is he not Jesus, the son of Joseph? You don't remember lousy carpenters. And you remember when Jesus prepared the meal on the beach for the disciples. This was after he was raised from the dead. He gave them fish and honeycomb. That was a delicacy that was considered a sweet back in those days, and he loved it. And the Holy Spirit informed me that it ran in the family because his cousin, John the Baptist, ate locust and he still loves sweets in heaven. Amen. You can hang out at the bakeries with him. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
And anyone listening to this that doesn't know the Lord, he doesn't want you to come to him just so you can have hell insurance. He doesn't want you to come to him and receive him out of fear. He wants you to fall in love with him and give your whole life to him. Get rid of all the darkness, the sin, the evil that the enemy has trapped you in. The enemy wants to kill. He wants to steal your identity. He wants to destroy your destiny. But Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. You'll have authority over all the power of the enemy. You'll learn to rule and reign with Christ. You'll be with him in eternity. He will never, ever leave you, forsake you. He will always love you. And he was willing to change his very image to die for you. His name was the Word. In eternity, before Christ came to this earth, it was the Word, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. It says in the book of John, the Word was with God and was God, and there wasn't anything made that wasn't made by him. And he didn't have flesh on his body. He had an amazing spiritual body. Living in a spiritual world, you have a literal life. And he would create with the Father all the time. Many times together, he could actually step inside the Father and they would go somewhere and God would speak and the Word would step out and make it. That's why his name was the Word, because he did it. Whatever God spoke, he would take it and make it. And he was willing to leave his home, have flesh put on his body. He became poor the moment he left heaven. He was not poor by earth standards. He was poor when he left heaven. He became poor so you may be rich. When he left heaven, he was poor. Because when you see heaven, you'll understand what that means. But you don't have a treasure to hold your nickels. And people don't gamble over your garments if they're rags. And you wouldn't have some of the wealthiest people in the city as your best friends if you were poor. You wouldn't be invited to all the weddings if you were poor. Get a clue. It's a lie from the enemy. God wants you to prosper in every way. Because guess what? In heaven, everybody prospers. Everybody uses that scripture to prove you're not supposed to have any. When he spoke to the rich man, that was for the rich man. Because he had such a hold, that money had such a hold on him, that was a huge burden for him to think about giving all that up. But not everybody feels that way. Money's good. It helps you preach the gospel, bless the poor, doesn't it? You can't do anything without it in this world, amen? So the devil doesn't want you to have any. Say, too bad, devil. We're going to handle the wealth of the wicked. When you get up to the throne and you begin to pass through those waves of color penetrating your being, filling you with the love of the Father, and you look and his face shines like the sun, and they say that because there's rays of glory moving in and out of him all the time. But if you stand there and stare long enough, you'll see the image of his face. And if you look even longer, you'll see his eyes. They are literally blue flames of fire. The passion that burns for you and I. And he reaches out of that glory and grabs you and holds you to himself. And you feel like you're going to melt and go inside of him. And you don't ever want to be without him again. And if your family members ever make it that far, they aren't ever coming back. Because they're with the one who made them. Who sent you here so you could choose him and come back to him. Amen? Amen? He's prepared a mansion for you. I'm going to try to hurry. He's prepared a mansion for you that's designed around your gift. Your gifts are so major and important. He put it in you before he sent you. He wants you to use it in the earth. And they're irrevocable because when you get to heaven, that's what you do. It's your passion. Whether it's an artist or a cookie baker or you design things or you're an awesome farmer and you grow things or you train horses for rodeos or you design amusement parks. Those are gifts. Athletes have a gift. When they go to heaven, they will use their gift. And all sports in heaven are played as worship for Jesus. There is three places on the scoreboard. One for each team and one for Jesus. And as they make the points, they go to their scoreboard for about 2 seconds, and then they go to Jesus' scoreboard. And the teams are so they're so competitive because they're determined to make more points for Jesus than the other team. Amen? And that's why they have sports in heaven. It's worship. It's their way of thanking him for giving them that gift. But it wouldn't be fair to let the artists and the dancers and the chefs and the bakers and the fashion designers use their gift and not them. So there are sports in heaven, extreme sports, and no helmets are required. And your entire mansion is built and designed around your gift. And if you were an artist, you go up there and have this amazing, huge mansion. In there, you would have a studio with unending supplies that never run out. And then you get a gallery to show all your artwork that you're going to give away. And nothing costs anything in heaven, whether you're a jeweler or you have a restaurant, if you're a chef. And you give all the food away. And it tastes amazing. And your mansion, if you don't want to cook, you don't have a kitchen. You don't need one. Amen. You sit down at your table that hosts 50 people. And you say what you want. And it appears on the plates. And you eat it. And then everything disappears. And there's nothing to clean up. You'll never patch or repair or paint or mow the lawn. Nothing's going to leak or decay or rot ever. If you have a starship that runs on light, or you have a 57 Chevy that runs on light, or you have a Harley with hyperdrive, it's never going to break down, run out of fuel. You're not going to have to get a permit or a license. You'll never pay taxes, electric bill, or mortgages. And if you like to train dolphins, your mansion will be under the crystal sea. And you'll jump through a portal and you'll be out there swimming with them. And when you're done, you jump back in and you're dry. Because it's supernatural. And no matter what gift you have on the inside of you, you will use that gift when you get to heaven. If you were meant to be a concert pianist and all you did was bang on a little keyboard, you get to your mansion, you'll have a studio to train people how to play the concert piano. And then you have a performing center as part of your mansion, and people will come to hear you play and all your students for free. We don't think big enough. They have a place in heaven called the observatory. And when you step in the door, you're in outer space. There's no nighttime there. You can't see outer space from there, but you can step in there and be out there just so you can look at it. Because nothing is impossible with your daddy. You won't lose anything. You don't want to miss going there. Being in his presence, the worship that goes on in the throne room is tremendous. Please, if you don't have a flag team, start one in your sanctuary. If you don't have a dance team, start one in your sanctuary. Because they have them in the throne room. God loves pageantry. Those flags carry the glory, and every time you wave them, the glory will roll off of them on the people. In the sanctuary, when they're flagging and they flag like that, the angels who are there touch that flag and impart the glory of God into it. And then you can spread it over the people. Isn't God awesome? Those streets of gold actually take you places in heaven. You live near all your family members. You're not going to get away from them. Everybody has their own mansion, but they will move in when you get there. And you can go on tours and just leave them there if you want to. And then Elijah will come and stay with you for a while. And King David will invite you to his place. They can't wait to meet you. Hebrews 12:1, since you're surrounded about by such a great cloud of witnesses, talks about running your race, getting the sin out of your life. Any weight or anything that gets in the way, get rid of it so you can get that goal called heaven. And they're cheering you on. They go into these beautiful buildings and lean over a balcony, and they declare the will of God over your life all the time. We declare they'll become mighty men and women of God. We declare they'll be free in Jesus' name. We declare they won't miss their destiny. We declare they become the living testimony, the saving power of Jesus Christ. You're not going to get away from your grandma's words. And every year on your birthday, your family members go there and sing happy birthday to you. And then they go and get a gift and put it in your mansion that's being built. And every year you were apart from them, they'll have a gift for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you go home to heaven, it's not a place. It's a home. A supernatural home. Where you get gifts like garments of praise. Garments of praise are God's own songs that he has never had sung in heaven. And when you come home, he gives you one. And when he opens his treasure chest, it comes out. You see music. It looks like all different colors. I don't know. I saw Whitney Houston getting one that was like a garnet color. And it began to wrap itself around her in this beautiful garnet gown. And every time she'd move her arm, you'd hear God singing. She received Jesus Christ back again. The last night she was alive, she sang, "Yes, Jesus loves me." And what she did, she gave herself back to the Lord. Amen. I like to say, what the Lord told me to tell you. I'm going to end in just a couple minutes. He said, please tell them that on earth you have to make a living in order to exist. But in heaven, you will exist to live. It is so powerful and beautiful. And all gems in heaven represent the heart of the Father. The stones of fire are the heart of God. Our God is a consuming fire. He burns with passion for you. On the inside of the Father is not, he's not a human. He doesn't have organs and stuff like you. Inside him is eternity. There's this amazing, beautiful river of life that flows continually. And his heart are these massive stones of fire. And when he burns with love for you, it burns up around these stones and sends the rainbow outside his being. And because we worship him continually, that fire continually burns, and wave after wave of the glory leaves him and creates this beautiful rainbow that's like this. It goes all the way around his throne. It turns that throne sapphire blue. And you know, it talks about the lightning coming from the throne. It's like a million megawatts of love. People run in the throne and get struck by that lightning. And yet, it's what took Lucifer out of heaven. It's love. Love kicked Lucifer out of heaven. God had an army, but the army didn't throw him out. Michael only held him so the Father could send a lightning bolt from himself and kick him out of heaven with love. Amen? He wants so much for you to know him. And his Son is the only way to heaven. And he told me to please explain this to you when people tell you that a loving God would not send people to hell. He said, this is the answer you give them. You give them my answer. He said, I didn't put the blood of my Son out there as a barrier to keep people out of heaven. I put it out there to keep evil, wickedness, and sin out of heaven. And if I let anybody in without the blood of my Son, heaven would be just like the earth. He is not trying to keep people out. But if they don't get born again, they would bring all that in heaven with them. Because it's in your soul, and your soul goes with you. Your soul's inside your spiritual body. Deposits are made in that soul all day long. You choose with your will what goes in there. So people who sin are continually putting evil, wickedness, and sin in there. And so if you let them come to heaven, it would all go into heaven. And he was not ever allowing that again. So you tell people he doesn't want to keep people out of heaven. But if they have sin in them, he won't let evil and sin in. And that blood wipes away your sin. Amen? Doesn't that make sense? It's because he loved us enough to make a way for us to come back to him. And then we'll be with him in eternity on the new earth. But right now, heaven is very excited about one thing. The greater glory coming to this earth. The Spirit of God is about to touch all flesh without permission. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He's not asking for an invitation. And he said, there'll be no evil or darkness that can hide from that light. And things are going to change, especially in the house of God. It's going to get a whole lot better. Your spiritual body lives an amazing life in heaven. It can eat the food. It can sing, rejoice. You get a wardrobe in heaven. There's so many things to do. There's a lot of things that wouldn't be very good to wear a gown and do them, like ride horses, ride the roller coasters, swim under the crystal sea, play in Jell-O Land. People go, you're getting too weird for me. You're not a little kid. Because if you had the mind of a child right now, you'd be going, hallelujah. Because every kid gets excited when I say there's Jell-O Land there. If he wants to make Jell-O Land, if he wanted to make it on the earth, it'd be here tomorrow. And it wouldn't melt. Because he made it. But he has all kinds of places and ways for kids to have fun when they get to heaven. Your children, if they're in heaven, are having the most fantastic life. They stay with family and friends. They get hoverboards. They jump on, go all over heaven by themselves. They can't get lost. They can't get hurt. Five-year-olds, whole groups of them going on their hoverboards all over heaven without an adult supervision. They stand on these platforms and get encased in these big bubbles, and their friends do, and they go all over heaven bouncing off of each other across the sky of heaven. And when they get where they want to go, they pop their bubble and go play. They go to the friendly forest and dance with the flowers. They have huge flowers about 6 foot tall. They call them flower copters. They'll take their face and turn upward and catch you up and take you across the sky. You'll desire to go somewhere, and even the ground will start moving you, or a road of light will be created to come down and pick you up and take you somewhere in heaven. You step into transport kiosks. That's why we have subways down here. It's like an arch, big arch, and beams of light are shooting out of it. And when you step up there, you say where you want to go, and it reaches out, and the light grabs you to the other side of heaven. You step out of another one. The beam me up, Scotty, came from heaven. And because you use your gift, that's why there's comedy clubs. All decent. And you will see people on the ground out in front of them laughing so hard because you're even funnier up there. They have a lame joke club. You know the people who tell the jokes that aren't funny and then laugh at them. They have their own place where they all go. My dad is there. I said that one time and someone goes, our pastor will be there when he goes home. And he laughed at him. And there's a time in the throne room when the power of God and the love of God flows so heavy, everyone is on the floor. It's like you're swimming in love, and you don't care if you ever get up. And then you get up again to worship, and you go up into the air, and you're dancing and celebrating in the air in the throne room. And the seraphim come down out of the glory cloud, and their heads are on fire. They're burned. They're called the burning ones. It looks like the hair is blue fire. And they sing this beautiful song over the throne. It's fascinating. It's captivating. It's not boring. There's a consignment, there's a throne room, the consignment throne room, commissioning throne room. And when you give yourself to Jesus Christ, God takes a layer of your soul and he seats it in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. It's a transparent image of you. It represents you in heaven. You're already there. And when he gives you a commission or a mantle on the earth, he calls that layer of you into this commissioning throne room and places a mantle on them as you're being one placed on you on the earth by the Holy Spirit. They have a place called Central Station in heaven, and Jesus is over that, and many of the redeemed go there to serve. Oral Roberts is there. Billy Joe Daughtry is there. Schaumbach would be there if he would ever leave the throne room. He's never left the throne room since he got there. He's waiting on his wife. Because she loved him and they loved each other so much, they always promised each other we'll go together or we'll wait for each other. And he does not want to go to his mansion until she comes home and he can see, they can see theirs at the same time. You still love each other. You're not husband and wife, but you're like best friends forever. Amen? And this is what the Lord said about Oral Roberts working there. He said, Oral poured out his life for the glory on the earth, and I won't let him miss pouring out the glory on the earth from heaven. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Your friends and family can't wait for you to get there. They make lists of places to take you. They know things you like. They can't wait for you to see what God has created for you, how much he loves you, that you'll actually get to use your gift and bless everybody in heaven. And then one day, when the rapture does happen, I don't personally care when that happens. It's not my decision. It's my job to run my race. It's my job to take dominion and occupy until the Father decides when we go home. But he wants to assure you that if you're living in heaven when it happens, you won't miss it. Because you will come with the Lord in the clouds, and you'll know about it first before the people on the earth will, and you get your bodies back first. Say amen. Amen. And then those who are alive and remain will be caught up, and their bodies will be glorified. So you won't miss it. If you're living in heaven, go there and enjoy it first. Amen? Amen? Because we actually still have quite a time on this earth left. And I'm not going to talk about that right now. But God knows what his timeline says. And this is the kingdom age. And he has a lot of stuff for us to do to change the mindset of the body of Christ to rule, don't run. Amen? Make a difference in this world. Please stand up. Please stand up. We're going to declare some things to the Father. Say, Father,
I am your
child.
I am so glad you made me.
I am so glad you sent your Son. I am so glad you sent Holy Spirit. And he was willing to move his base of operations from heaven to earth so he could move inside of me. Did you ever think about that? Jesus moved when he left heaven, came to the earth. Holy Spirit moved his base of operations. When Jesus went home, he came to the earth. And one day the Father will move. When we have the new earth. So don't think about what you have to give up. They're willing to give up that. They had to do something for us too. Amen?
Amen.
Say, Father, I look forward,
to ruling and reigning with Christ.
Now,
in this life,
push back darkness.
Handle the wealth of the wicked.
To create kingdom finances.
And build things
to be used for your glory.
I give you permission
to get my attention,
even
when I'm not paying attention.
If there's something you don't like,
you tell me,
and it's gone.
If there's something I need,
you tell me.
I'm asking for it
right now.
I ask
that you download
your love
into my soul.
Your passion
for others
into my soul.
I ask
you send your joy,
your life,
your power,
your thoughts
right now.
I receive them.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can sit down.
Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share with your children
just a little glimpse of who you are and what you have for them, God, but especially what you have right now for them. I ask you to give them revelation, Father, that comes not from the mind of man, but comes from your heart. I thank you, Father, that their spirit man craves revelation. Their natural mind craves information. In this day and hour, we need revelation. I thank you for filling them, Father. Let them have encounters with you. Let them feel your presence. Invade their home. Invade their life. Invade their business. Invade their finances. Bring restoration in their families, Father. This is the season for restoration. Everyone say, I declare. My family will know God. Will not miss their destiny. Will become the living testimony of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for letting me share.